Good evening, good evening, good evening, and welcome to Kingdom Encounter Live. My name is Apostle Milton Jones. I'm so glad to have you join us tonight. Man, I know this is going to be a time of refreshing, a time of rejoicing, a time of impartation. So I wanted to give you an opportunity to go ahead and get a pencil, get a piece of paper, get your iPad, your Apple Pad, whatever you're going to need in order to take some good notes tonight, because I know the words you're going to hear tonight is going to ultimately change your life forever. So let's go ahead and make our declaration in according to Isaiah 61:1, and we'll go ahead and jump into it in the name of Jesus. I said this in according to Isaiah 1, it says this, 61:1, it says this, that the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me. Because it is the Lord who has anointed me to preach good tidings to the meek. It is he who sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, the day of vengeance of our God, and to comfort all who mourn, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called the trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. And they shall build the old waste, and they shall raise the former desolations, and they shall repair the waste cities, the desolation of many generations. Father in heaven, our Lord in Jesus Christ, we thank you for this opportunity, Father God, to come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. Father, I was glad when they said unto us, let us go into the house of the Lord. Father, I pray right now in the name of Jesus that our preaching and teaching would not be with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of spirit and power, that the faith of the people lie not in the wisdom of men, but in the power of the Most High God. Father, I covenant with you for miracles, signs, wonders, manifestations of the gifts of the Holy Spirit as you see fit. I decrease that you may increase. Father, may you be glorified in all that's said and done tonight. Father, I declare and decree ears are open to hear, eyes are open to see, and hearts are open and ready to receive the engrafted word of God that will ultimately change our lives forever. Father, I thank you for allowing me to use my tongue as the pen of a ready writer, writing the very oracles of your word on the tablets of their hearts. Father, I would decree and declare burdens will be removed, yokes will be destroyed, lives will be forever changed. And it's in your son Christ Jesus' name we pray with thanksgiving. Let us all say amen. Well, again, my name is Apostle Milton Jones. I'm the senior leader here at Ignite Depot. And I want to thank you for joining us here tonight at Encounter Kingdom Encounter Live. It's such a privilege and honor. We do not take it for granted that you took time out of your busy schedule to listen to this podcast tonight. And my prayer is that it will bless your life and change your life forever through the word of God. Now, last week, we were talking about our new series we started on called Babylon is Falling. And we was talking about how Babylon, when you're talking about Babylon, you're talking about the Babylonian system or this world system or this world's way of customs and plans and systems, their way of doing things and how and what all that means and how God, in accordance to Ezekiel 33:7, he called me to, as a watchman on the wall. And as a watchman on the wall, my assignment is when I hear a message or a word from the Lord, I am to go and warn or declare that word to the people that the people may be able to make whatever adjustments they need to make in order that they might be able to not only go through, but also understand how to come out on top in the name of Jesus. Now, God always declares the end from the beginning. In accordance to Isaiah 46:10, he always declares the end from the beginning and from the ancient times to things which are not yet done. In fact, when he, if you go back and read the book of Jeremiah, he told Jeremiah, he says, in Jeremiah chapter 1, he says, before I formed you in your mother's womb, I knew you. And he says, and before you came out as a baby, I'd already accepted you. He said, I'd already approved you. And he says, and I already had called you or declared you to be that you were going to be a prophet to the nations. So even before a child is ever born, even before while they're still in the womb, even before they even pop. Come into this natural world, God already knows you. He already established you. He already approved you. He already accepted you. And he had a purpose and a plan for your life. And when he was declaring to Jeremiah, he was telling him, I knew all these from the very beginning. I declared that your end, how things was going to end up for your life from the very beginning. And then I started you. In other words, you started at the starting line, and through your life, you was going through till you can reach God's expected end for your life. But the way that that happens is you have to cooperate with God. Nothing just happens. You and God equal the majority. And when you come in agreement with him, man, it makes it so much better in the name of Jesus. Now he says, my counsel or his purposes shall stand, and he will do all his good pleasures. Now we talked about last week how surely the Lord does nothing unless he reveals his secrets to his servants, and he reveals his secrets to his prophets. But you know, and in the New Testament, because you have the Holy Spirit on the inside of you, one of the ministry assignments for the Holy Spirit is that he will show you things to come. But he will only show you things to come when you spend time fellowshipping with him, communing with him, and praying to God, reading your Bible, meditating on the word, and being a doer of the word. We found out last week how even back when things was about to come on the earth, he warned Noah about that there was going to be a flood. And he told Noah almost 100 years before the flood was actually going to come that, hey, I need you to prepare and build this ark. And this ark is going to be able to save you and your family. But in that over 100 years, Noah still was preaching one word: get ready, because it's going to rain. And people laughed at him. They mocked at him. They made fun of him. But when that rain came, when it started to rain and God shut the door, nobody was laughing at that point. They was telling Noah, open the door. But Noah was not the one who shut the door, so Noah could not open the door. And we also shared it in how what Jesus was sharing about the 10 virgins, how 5 was wise and 5 was foolish. And the 5 wise were prepared. They was expecting the bridegroom to come any moment now, so they were prepared. But you also have 5 who were still virgins, but they wasn't prepared. So they didn't prepare. So when the bridegroom came, they were still going back trying to get prepared to meet him. But when the bridegroom came, the wise one went into with him, and the foolish were not. And the bridegroom himself shut the door. And then the 5 foolish who weren't prepared when he came, they came knocking at the door. And it's like, hey, let us in. He's like, I never knew you. And I don't know about you, it will make me pause and think about that. I never knew you. And the thing is this is not like a do-over. Like, you know, if you don't get it right the first time, you get a do-over. It's either you're ready or you're not. You know, I used to have this message called Ready or Not, Here I Come, talking about the day that Jesus is coming. Now, the reason why we're talking about how God always does nothing in the earth but without warning or without sharing this, revealing it to his prophets. And today we're going to talk about two very credible prophets who you'll be able to receive from. One is Paul, and the other one is Jesus himself. Now, we talked about this in our last series, Built to Last. So if you didn't listen to that podcast, I'd invite you to go back and listen to that those podcasts about Built to Last, about preparing for the end times. And this is talking about the system itself. And this is what Paul said. He said it. He's writing this to a young pastor, Timothy. And this is what he said to young Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1. He says, you need to be aware that in the final days, the culture of society, I'm reading out of the Passion Translation, will become increasingly fierce. People will be self-centered, lovers of themselves, obsessed with money. They will be boasters of great things as they strut around in their arrogant pride and mock all that is right. They walk. When I read it, it makes me think about a peacock. How a peacock stretches out his feathers and then struts their stuff. It says they will ignore their own families. They will be ungrateful and ungodly. They will become addicted to hateful and malicious slander. It says they will be slaves to their desires. They will be ferocious. They will be belligerent. They'll be haters of what is good and right. He says, with brutal treachery, they will act without restraint. They will be bigoted and wrapped in clouds of their own conceit. Ooh, man. They will find their delight in pleasures of this world more than the pleasures of loving God. It didn't say that they didn't have any love for God. It just said that they have more delight in the pleasures of this world than in the pleasures of God. It goes on and says this, they will pretend to have a respect for God, but in reality, they want nothing to do with God's power. Stay away, and this is what the prophet warns Timothy, stay away from these people. People like these, he says, for these are the ones who slither their way into the hearts of vulnerable women, spending the night with those who are captured in their own lust and steeped in sin. He says, they are always learning, but never discover the revelation knowledge of truth. And I used to believe for a long time that he was talking about the world. But when you go and you read more into this, he's actually talking about the behaviors of those who are actually in the body of Christ. He says, these are the things you're going to begin to see. Not only will they be going on in the world, but some of this stuff will be creeping into the church itself. And he says they will have a love for pleasure more than they have a love for God. He says to stay away from those type of people. He says because they always seem to be learning. They have a whole lot of head knowledge, but they never discover the revelation knowledge of truth. A lot of people have what we call, book knowledge. They have our mental sense. They believe what the Bible says. They believe that the Bible is true, but they never apply any of it to their life. So their life looks very much the same like it was before they got born again, after they got born again, because they never renew their mind by the word of God. You know, as Paul is writing this letter to Timothy, but before then he actually wrote a letter to the church at Rome. And he's warning about some of these things that are going to be going on and some of the things that were actually going on at the time in the world, the people who are around in Rome. He says this, and we're going to pick up at Romans chapter 1, verse 22. Again, I'm reading out of Passion Translation, and it says it this way. It says, although people claiming to be wise, they in fact were shallow fools. Why did he call them fools? He says, for only a fool would trade the unfading splendor of the immortal God to worship the fading image of other humans, idols made to look like people, animals, birds, and every creeping reptile. What he's saying is, he says, you're trying to tell me that you're going to give more glory to a statue. You're going to bow down to a statue. You're going to bow down to something that you have created with your hands and say that's your God, as opposed to worshiping and honoring, giving glory to the one who made you and the very materials that you made a statue out of. Now you had to be pretty stuck on duh in order to fall for that one, but it happens all the time. It says, because people had this attitude about the things of God, this is why God lifted off his restraining hand and let them have full expression of their sinful and shameful desires. In other words, God will try to protect you on every side from going off into these things because he loved you so much. He loves me so much. He loved the world so much that he sent his own son, Jesus Christ, to pay the sin debt for every past, present, future sin. And he's like, hey, you know what? I want to try to keep you from going that way. But if you've already made up in your mind, remember, God won't make you do anything. If you want to resist him, if you want to turn your back on him, as much as it hurts him, he will allow you to do so. So what did God end up doing? Because they turned away from it. He says, this is why God lifted off his restraining hand and let them have full expression of their sinful and shameful desires. He goes on and says, they were given over to moral depravity, dishonoring their bodies by sexual perversions among themselves, all because they traded the truth of God in for a lie. They traded the truth of God. They traded a lie in place of God's truth. They said, you know, we have more faith, more confidence, more trust. We're more persuaded by this lie than we have in the truth of what God's word says. So we're going to do what feels right to us. He goes on and says, they worshiped and served the things of God made rather than God who made all things. Glory and praises to him forever and ever. Amen. Now, for this reason, because they chose to worship the creation more than the creator, it says that for this reason, God gave them over to their own disgraceful and vile passions, inflamed with lust, one for another. Men and women ignored the natural order and exchanged the normal sexual relations for homosexuality. Women engaged in lesbian conduct, and men committed shameful acts with men, receiving in themselves the dual penalty for their deviation. In other words, because people made a decision to take what God said was natural, and said, you know what? God says this is the way it's supposed to be. Man, male and female, male, he created male and female, them, he created them. And he says, from these two, I want to bring forth a godly seed. But if you choose to take a male and a male and a female, remember, you have a choice. God never forces you to do anything. If you make a decision, hey, this is what I want, this is what I desire, this is what his passion is burning on the inside of me, it didn't say that God made them stop. He honored their decision, even though he gave them over to their own desires and passions, even though it was not according to his original purposes and plans for the earth. Pause and think about that for a moment. He goes on to say this. He says, and because they thought it was worthless. Now, he's still talking about the same people who've made a decision to turn away from the truth of God, to turn over to a lie. He says, because they thought it was worthless to embrace the true knowledge of God, God gave them over to a worthless mindset to break all rules of proper conduct. In other words, God says, I won't force you to do anything. If you decide that's what you want to do, that's your decision. But as a result of you making that decision, ultimately, you're going to be the one who's going to be responsible for whatever consequences come as a result of that. That's the ways and the things of God. You can make a decision to follow God and receive his reward. You can make a decision to not follow God and receive the rewards of your own action. It's no different than when Adam and Eve was in the garden. God says, this is my way, this is my purpose, this is my plan, this is my desire for you. But Adam and Eve had a choice. And when they listened to the lie and they believed the lie over God's truth, they made a decision. And when they made a decision, they received the consequence of their decision. Guess what? If you make a decision to follow God, you will receive the consequence of making that decision. Now, consequences are judgments, simply mean the outcome or the verdict or whatever decision that you made. Now, and it goes on to say that their sinful lives became full of every kind of evil. Because see, when you get off into sin, now you get away from following after God, just like when the days of Adam and Eve, how they when they got off, it wasn't that bad in the beginning. But about time you got to Noah and they had spent more and more time in operating according to the kingdom of darkness, it only got darker. It says this in Romans. It talks about how their sinful lives became full of every kind of evil, wicked schemes, greed, and cruelty. It says their hearts were overflowed with jealousies, cravings, and with conflict and strife, which drove them into hateful arguments and murder. They are deceitful liars, full of hostility. They are gossips who love to spread malicious slander with inflamed egos. They hurl hateful insults at God, yet they are nothing more than arrogant boasters. They are rebels against their parents and totally immoral. They are senseless, faithless, ruthless, heartless, and completely merciless. although they are fully aware of God's laws and proper order, and knowing that those who do all these things deserve to die, yet they still go headlong into darkness, encouraging others to do the same and applauding them when they do. Did you ever read that God made them do anything? Absolutely not. See, the thing about it is people think, well, you know, you can't tell people that because you might hurt their feelings. But God is saying, because I love you, because his desire for you is only good. He warns you, he tells you, he instructs you, because like a loving parent, you only want the best for your children. But if your children make a decision that they want to go a different direction, you can tell them, provide all the proof in the world to them. But ultimately, the decision on what they're going to do falls with them once they get to the age of accountability. It falls on them. Now, as long as they're in their house, in your house, they do what you tell them to do. The moment they leave your house and they begin to make their own decisions, as a parent, you can pray for them. You can give them counsel when they want counsel. But ultimately, the decision is up to them. That's the same way that God is with mankind. Even those who say they are followers of Jesus Christ, they still have a choice whether they're going to follow him or whether they're not, whether they're going to yield to his word or whether they're not. Now, we read already about how Paul had prophesied to Timothy how the last days was going to be, how Paul had talked to the church at Rome and shared with them about all these things that were going to be going on. Because all you got to understand the culture back then, all these things was going on in the culture. There's nothing new under the sun. People act like all the stuff that's going on in the world today is something brand new. But in reality, it is not. It was there before, and God says it will be there to the trumpet blows. And how do you know that's going to be the case? Because even Jesus began to talk about what things was going to be like in the end of days. Because his disciples were with him, and this is in Matthew chapter 24, says this. It says, Matthew 24 and verse 3, Jesus says this. It's still reading out of the Passion Translation. It says, later when they arrived at Mount Olive, Jesus with his disciples, came to him privately to where he was sitting and said, tell us when all these things will happen and what are the should be the signs to expect your signal, your coming and the completion of this age. And this is what Jesus said to them. He says at that time, when it's close to the end of this age, he says the deception will run rampant. He says, so beware and don't be fooled. He says, for many will appear on the scene, claiming by authority and saying about themselves, I am the anointed one. And he said, they will lead many astray. So when you got cults and stuff going on, they will claim that they are the Christ. They are the Messiah. They are the chosen one. But beware of them, because deception will run rampant. And Jesus says, they will lead many astray. That's why we always say, you got to study the word for yourself. Even if a pastor tells you, study the word for yourself, so you will know that when they read it, they're reading it in proper context. He goes on to say to them, he says, you will hear. This is what Jesus says is going to happen in a signal of his coming. He says, you will hear of wars and revolutions on every side, with more rumors of wars to come. He says, but don't panic or give in to your fears, for the breaking apart of the world's system or the Babylonian system is destined to happen. He says, but it won't yet be the end. He said, it is still be unfolding. He says, nation will go against nation and kingdom against kingdom, and there will be terrible earthquakes and horrible epidemics and famines in place after place. This is how the birth of the pains of the new age will begin. He says, now all these things are going to happen. He says, but not only all these things going to be happening in the world. He says, but these are the things that's going to be happening in the body of Christ itself. He says, you can expect to be persecuted. He said, even killed, for you will be hated by all the nations. He says, because your love for me. He says, people will hate you. People will persecute you. Why? Because of your love for me. Then he says, and many, the King James says, will become offended. Many will become offended and many will stop following after Jesus. Jesus says, because they're going to be persecuted, because they're going to be hated, because some people are going to be killed, many people who was once following him will be stopped following him, and they will fall away from the truth. And he says, and they will begin to, even in the body of Christ, they will begin to betray one another. They will hate one another. And many lying prophets will arise, deceiving multitudes and leading them away from the path of truth. I used to think when he said many lying prophets would rise, I used to think he was talking about people from the pulpit. But the lying prophets will be coming from those sitting in the pews who decide for themselves, that pastor is telling us the wrong way. We need to find another pastor, or we need to establish our own group and establish our own ways. And that's how you end up with so many different church splits. Then he goes on to say this. He says, there will be such an increase of sin, of lawlessness, that those whose hearts once burned with passion for God and others will grow cold. He said, there'll be so much sin going on in and around the world, and even going on in many lives, people's lives, even in the church. He said that their love will go cold. He says, but for you, those whose hope hold firmly to the end, and who will experience life and deliverance. He says, because the good news of the gospel of the kingdom of God will be proclaimed over the world, providing every nation with a demonstration of the reality of God. And after that, the end of this age will come. What has to happen first? The wars and rumors of wars, all those things are going on, famines and nation against nation, and people, believers going to be persecuted, and they're going to become offended, and people are going to have people falling away and stop following Jesus, and they're going to be doing all kinds of things, and their love is going to grow cold, and they're going to betray one another, they're going to hate one another, they're going to abandon one another. But Jesus says, for those who hold on, for those who endure to the end, he says, deliverance will come to you just like it came to those five wise virgins. They held on and prepared to the end. And the foolish ones, they weren't prepared. They got offended. They turned away. They went and did all kinds of things. And what ended up happening? The gospel of the kingdom of God will be preached. And then the reality of God will be demonstrated. And then the end of this age will come. But nothing just happens. People were already warned. But think about this. God also gave you an opportunity for those who aren't in a relationship with him right now to become in a relationship with him. And it's through his son, Jesus Christ. And as simple as praying this prayer with me in accordance to Romans chapter 10, verses 8, 9, and 10, which says this. It says, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. How do you go about doing this? Dear Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, I do believe Jesus Christ, he is the Son of God. I believe he died for me on the cross and carried my sins for me. I believe he was put in the grave, but now he's risen. He's alive right now. Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Save me now. I repent of sin and I receive your offer of forgiveness. Right now, I'm born again. Fill me with your Holy Spirit in Jesus' name. Amen. And if you prayed that prayer for the first time, I want to welcome you to the kingdom of God, welcome you into a right relationship with him, and welcome you into right relation. Now, what do you do now? Man, you got to get into Word-Based Church. It teaches you about the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. We invite you to join us here each week at 6 p.m. for a fresh new podcast. And if you have any prayer requests, send them to info@IgniteDepot. That's info@IgniteDepot.com. We'd be more than happy to pray with you and for you. And until next week, you have a blessed week. And thank you for joining us here tonight. God bless you. Have a good night. Bye-bye.